Hello and welcome to the Dad Up Radio Show. This is a father-friendly, father-focused space to empower fathers and father figures to strengthen the connection between their children and themselves. I am your host, Seamus Gordon. Let's dad up. All right, so happy Friday to everyone. It is Friday. Hey. And if it's Friday, it is Emotional Social. Wellness Day.
Social.
Oh, yeah, you see? Somebody's got it. Okay. Social Wellness Day. Listen, you have got it. So every day of the week, we focus on one of the five tires that we as fathers and father figures should drive on to have a balanced ride. On Mondays, we look at the spiritual. On Tuesdays, we look at the physical. On Wednesdays, we look at the intellectual/mental. On Thursdays, we look at the emotional. And on Fridays, like today, we look at the social development, wellness of fathers and father figures. So, guys, happy Friday. How are you? We have, I nearly call him a stranger, but he's in the house. We have Mike in the house, and I am so grateful to have you. In addition to Charles, who is my regular co-host, we have Mike, who is with us this morning. And based on what you're telling me, this could be like a permanent adjustment. I mean, this man has changed his schedule, man.
It could be, yeah. Listen, God willing, we'll be all right.
Welcome, all right. Welcome. For those who are listening for the very first time, this is a new and exciting ride that we are on. We started on the 1st of August. The Dad Up Radio Show is unique in many ways. One, it is specifically for fathers and father figures. We have a mission to encourage, to support, to mobilize, to harness the strength of our fathers and father figures and create a movement here. And we hope that every day that you listen to us, fathers, you will end up being better spies, focusing on those major areas in your lives. And today we're going to be talking about the social life of dads. So I have a question for you guys. If you have a good home life, if you enjoy your job and you love yourself and you have all that you need, why do you need a social life outside of your home? Why is that still necessary?
I believe it is because, first of all, you need to have people with like interests. Even though you have your family and your wife, you have to be around like-minded men who do some of the same things that you like to do, go some of the same places you like to go. That just makes you more well-rounded, because if you're always at home with your family, which is not a bad thing, but then you start to get stagnant and you don't grow yourself. I can say that from experience, because I didn't really go a lot of places, and I had only a couple people that I actually called friends, and people would see me and perceive that I was standoffish, which I wasn't. That's just who I was. But my wife encouraged me to put myself out there, to be vulnerable, to relationships, because that's how a person grows.
Mike, your thoughts?
I mean, we have our central core with our family, right? But the Bible teaches us that we shouldn't give up on meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing.
Okay.
But yes, encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. So when we're able to develop in the community, right, with like-minded people, then we start to really appreciate the relationships that we do have, right? We appreciate the ones that we have with the ones that we're meeting with, but we also appreciate even more the ones that we have at home.
So I'm going to push a little bit here, because if we say like-minded people, it could almost mean, or misinterpreted by some to mean, only work with the guys, only go out with the guys who vote like I vote, or look like I look, or think like I think. How do you explain that, that we're not just going around looking for people who think like us, believe like us, look like us, if we want to have a balanced social life?
Well, for me, when I say like-minded people, people that, or men, that are family-oriented.
Okay.
Have a positive mindset. And since I'm a godly man, godly men, I know that we'll find men that are not godly men, but they're still positive people. Okay. I don't want negative people around me, because I just don't. I'm a positive person. I don't like negativity. And the ones that are not godly, that will open avenues for me to talk to them about God and their salvation.
Okay.
Yeah, there's like a criteria, right? Like you can't check every box off that you want to hit, right? But you do want to find someone that gives you good energy, right? You don't want to surround yourself with negativity. I think about maturity, you're chiseling yourself away, you're chiseling off the things that you don't need in your life, right? You want to continue to stay positive. You want to stay rooted in God. Football season's coming up. I'm hanging out with Bears fans, right? Not many Bears fans out here, but you know what? We can agree to disagree, and that competitive nature, you know, builds bonds as well. You know, Brother Chan's a 49ers fan. You know, I can give him some slack about that, but but at the end of the day, we're coming back to the table and we're breaking bread.
Right. Speaking of chiseling, a verse that we often use, iron sharpeneth iron. Yeah. Quite honestly, I think for quite some time I've been misunderstanding that verse. I sharpen tools. Mm-hmm. I'm glad you said because you know that. I sharpen tools. Sharpening isn't always nice. You don't use butter and coconut oil to sharpen something. You need something that sometimes rub you the wrong way, but for your own good. And so if you have some friends, as the Bible says, iron sharpeneth iron, so does the countenance of one man another. You need to have friends who might not always see things how you see them, but help you see God and see what's right and see what's just. And that sometimes can create a little bit of a friction.
Yeah, because one, we don't know. We could be rusty. We could be rusty blades on some situations. Yes. You can't sharpen with a dull blade. You know, some people don't know that they need to be sharpened. So we have to approach certain situations, not with always a dagger, though, per se.
Right.
But we have to be understanding of the situation and know when to sharpen. There's always opportunities, but there's opportunities to sit back and reflect and understand the situation.
Yeah.
Right. And we can't be so focused that our view is the only view.
The only view.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. The Bible is jam-packed with examples of the goodness of good friends. David and Jonathan were good, close friends. And there was a time when, quite honestly, I didn't feel comfortable saying to a guy, I love you, because of the craziness that exists in our society. Mm-hmm. But these guys had genuine love between them.
Right.
And every one of us needs a Jonathan or a David. We need good, solid friends in our lives outside of our immediate family.
Yeah, I mean, we need to check in on each other, and we need to understand that we are vulnerable, even though we are men and supposed to be taught to be masculine and, you know, have this persona. But we have, if we're afraid to tell the next man that, you know what, are you okay? You know, at the end of the conversation, man, I really do love you. You know, I'm here for you. And I in return, I hope you are as well. We have to learn to be uncomfortable in those situations.
Right. And it goes back to the phrase, am I my brother's keeper? We must be our brother's keeper, because the enemy, he thrives on separation.
Oh, my goodness.
He thrives on isolation. Because the Bible say one can chase 1,000, two can put 10,000 to flight. Imagine when we have a group of godly men, what we can do.
Yeah. And back to that isolation thing. It is true. Adam and Eve, close-knit.
Yes.
But he found a way to isolate before he assassinates.
Right.
And we have got to be mindful of that. The way God made us, we're social beings. Mm-hmm. We need friends. We need to belong. And of course, men, dads find different ways of satisfying that need, sometimes unhealthy ways. One of the reasons gangs exist and have such a strong hold on young men is the fact that they feel belonged. They're affirmed. Mm-hmm. They are pumped up and all that. And that is a God-given need, a legitimate need met illegitimately.
Right. Yeah.
But it is a need that we all have.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Jesus and his disciples, they took a couple of boat trips just to go fishing. Seriously. There were times Jesus would just pull his disciples away to go have a fish fry. And some of the best lessons, if you read the Gospels, were taught during those times when Jesus was with his friends.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And that was needed because they were traveling from place to place. And Jesus was pouring himself out to so many people. And this was his core group.
Mm.
He had to stay connected with his core group and make sure they were being filled, because I'm sure they were going around doing different things while Jesus was doing what he was doing. But he always had to check in with them,
mm-hmm.
just like he always checked in with the Father, because you can keep pouring yourself out, but at some point you need to be refilled.
Yes. Yeah. I don't know about you, but I think it was either my mom or my grandma would say, you can't have too many friends. And I'm looking back at what they said now, and there seems to be some sense to that. They knew what they were saying. Jesus, at one point, 70 disciples,
mm-hmm.
dwindled down to 12. At one time, 11.
Mm-hmm.
Did go back up to 12. But he had an inner core. And even in the inner core, there was one who doesn't call himself a name, but he says was always leaning on Jesus' shoulder. Mm-hmm. He called himself the disciples whom Jesus loved.
Yes.
Really? Okay. But there seems to be a tightening of the circle
mm-hmm.
of friendships. We can have many associates, but right. they're just few good friends.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
Because real friendship requires time and energy, and we only have so much time. In mm-hmm. fact, 1,440 minutes per day. And if you have too many friends, in a deep sense, you have shallow friendship.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And some are going to be neglected.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that will cause a strain on the friendship. Personally, I have more now than I did 5 years ago because I've opened myself up to be friendly, to gain friends, which is very important. So the ones that I have, I treasure and I nurture, and the same way with me. And I'm not afraid to be vulnerable with them. They're not afraid to be vulnerable with me. And by the same token, when I'm wrong, they call me out, and I can do the same thing for them
mm-hmm.
in love.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like in high school, right? My son's in high school. So he's on the wrestling team. So he has his friends. He's really into computers and designing and stuff like that. So he has another set of friends, right? So and you know, through high school, you're trying to develop who you are, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to make friends with people that 20 years from now, why did I become friends with these people anyway? But you do have to fall in order to stand up again, and you know, to develop the strength, the foundation. So you start to grow and realize that, okay, I don't need to associate with these people because we're not as you know, cohesive as we should be. And then again, you do neglect people, and it's not intentional. And I believe if you let them know that it's not intentional and that you still care about them, those relationships are crucial as well.
After our DGJ session, I want us to go back to two concepts that are worth discussing. One, friends with your kids, dads and kids being friends, number one. Number two, the number of friends, true friends, that is really doable, legit. We'll talk about that after we talk about three things. Number one is that this program this morning is being sponsored by Nuzzle Nolan Pest Control and Lawn Care Company. They are good friends of this program and have offered to sponsor us for our initial few weeks. And we're looking forward to having you, our listening audience, join in, because we want to keep this program going and we would like you to be our sponsors. So for Nuzzle Nolan, you can reach them at 561-823-2173. Nuzzle Nolan again, 561-823-2173. You can be a sponsor and we will let the 7.5 million or so people potentially listening to this station hear about your business, hear about your church, or if you want to sponsor us in honor of a son, a dad, or somebody special, it costs about $90 per session. In addition to your finances, we ask for your prayers. Continue to pray for us. We need your help, and this mission needs your prayers. We're also asking for you to volunteer, at least give an hour per week. So we ask for your prayers, we ask for your hours, we ask for your dollars. Let's get to some jokes. And since we have three in here this morning, I'm going to ask the audience. Really, this is a real competition this morning. So, let's give the semi-newbie a chance to start this morning.
I'm always starting this off when I'm in the house. That's all right, though.
DGJ, Dad's Got Jokes.
All right. So how does a penguin build its house?
How does a penguin build its house?
I don't know.
It glues it together.
Oh, my.
All right. It glues it together.
Yeah, that was a good one.
All right. Okay. All right. Don't say that yet. You
haven't heard it. Don't say it yet. Okay.
It's already in the book.
All right. Charles, let me hear yours, man.
Where do bad rainbows go?
Where do bad rainbows go?
To prison. They get a light sentence, and it gives them time to reflect.
Okay, now. All right. Well, I don't know about you. Do you play music? Do you play?
I do.
All right. Do you?
A little bit.
Well, I used to play the piano by ear, but now I just use my hands because I don't use my ear.
Okay.
Okay.
So we need that laugh track, buddy.
We do, yeah. He laughs enough at his own jokes, though.
Listen, if you're listening and you think, text me, 561-229-2379. That number, it's right before me here. Tell me if you think the rainbow joke is nicer or I got a text that one. John Johnson says, oh, he's giving one better than ours. I mean, rather than commenting on ours, he sends it one, which tells us that probably we weren't so hot.
Okay.
Thank you, John. We feel better about that. Tells us that Jesus said to his disciples, I don't call you servants. I call you friends, even though they were his servants. Mm-hmm. But he doesn't call the whole world his friends. Mm-hmm. So there's something about narrowing down the numbers, because humanly speaking, and he had unlimited power, but humanly speaking, you can only love so many people effectively at one time, which is why I believe the Bible is correct in saying just one wife, because You can't truly love more than one properly. The story in the Bible of the woman who met Jesus at the well, this woman was widely spread. She had somebody in Delray. She had somebody in Tampa Bay. She had somebody in Montego Bay. She had everybody. So she loved widely, but she was incapable of loving deeply. So in order to have real deep friendships, you have to narrow down whom you let into that inner circle. What criteria do you guys use to let somebody in, or the ones you currently have? I have been blessed with some cool friends.
Yeah, I have one friend who listens to us from Texas online. We met 48 years ago.
Oh, wow.
When I was 15, he was 12. And we just connected on a level that, like brothers, he moved in next door to where I lived. And we just connected. I used to take him everywhere with me. And he gives me a lot of credit for things, which honestly, I don't know why, because I was just doing because he was a good guy. I liked being with him. But when I see people, and I'm not a social media guy, but when I see them on TV, they have this many friends on Facebook. You know, the Bible says there's a time and a season for everything under the sun. When you're having so many friends, sometimes it's time to let someone go because they may not be nurturing you. They may not be helping you move forward. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. And sometimes you just grow apart. So the ones that you have, the ones that are close, you have to nurture. You have to give time to it. Otherwise, it's going to fade.
So what I'm hearing you say, anyone who helps to nurture you and strengthen you and vice versa, that person qualifies to be on that inner circle.
Yes.
Okay. Mike?
They have to strengthen you. Mm-hmm. They have to have a positive energy. I'm actually coming across more and more of my friends that I realize that I've known for over 20 years than I realized. And I see them, and part of it is the maturity I see in them. You know, if they're stuck in a cycle where they're not getting out of it, or they're feeding into something that I can't roll with, then I'm disconnecting.
Yeah.
You know, and I just think if we're supposed to better each other, mm-hmm. and if we can't do that, then I'm sorry. Then.
Yeah.
And in a sense, you have to be good yourself, because if you need someone to better you, if you depend on them to better you, then you're not really as good as you should be.
All right, hold on. Let me challenge you in that a little bit, because I think I agree with the essence of what you are saying. If you enter a friendship, or even a relationship, but if you enter a friendship, you want that person to make you happy, then you are starting from a very wrong base. Mm-hmm. You need to be already happy so that this person can make you happier.
Correct.
Just like if you get married simply because you want somebody to make you happy, imagine the other person is also unhappy marrying you to make them happy. You have two unhappy people. So, yeah, I think I hear you. And one of the criteria that I use, quite honestly, is a twofold one. Does the person make me happier, and does the person make me better? But in order to make me happier, I have to be already happy. Mm-hmm. And to make me better, I have to be already good.
Correct.
And we're not necessarily talking about morally good here, but in terms of I'm good, I'm whole. Let's talk about friendship with your kids. And I'm not sure if we're going to have that time to dive into that. But where are you leaning, yay or nay?
I say nay, because I am your parent. As bad as it may sound, you're not on my level, experience-wise, knowledge-wise. I'm here to steer you and parent you. I can't be friends with you, because then you will think that you can say or do anything that your heart desires. And no, when I have to correct you, then, okay, all of a sudden you're not my friend.
Okay.
There was a level in the very beginning, my wife and I had this discussion before my son was born. And we were like, we're the parent, he's the child, right? And then as the child grows and we're instilling all these things in him, you know, he started becoming pretty cool, right? And I started really enjoying him as a human being. And there are certain things that we do together. Mm-hmm. I would say, like, it's a father and son thing, but then it's like he's bringing me in spaces that I wouldn't normally be in, right? So for that, I think I'm his father undoubtedly, but you know, we're bonding on a different level, in a different space. So you know, and I know my wife and my daughter have that similarity to us in that relationship as well.
So we're out of time, but I want us to revisit that. There are sort of four stages most child care specialists sort of name for the father-child sort of relationship. And one of them is friendship, but it is a later stage, almost like your, let's say, Big Daddy and Little Mike, literally. You could have a friendship because of the maturity that you both are at. If you have a toddler, if you have a teenager, there's something there that can be both unhealthy and destructive if the friendship level makes you unable or unwilling to do the correction.
But yeah, that would be a different dynamic when they're in the house with you. Now, once they've matured and have their own house and their own life, then that's different.
Yeah. And we'll definitely talk about that another time, because even with the adult children, there are some things I don't feel, I want to say, appropriate. Your intimate life with your partner, those are things that you might talk to with a good friend, but no matter how much your daughter, your son is a good friend, then I don't think you should go there.
Right.
But we'll talk about that another time, because we're almost out of time. Let me encourage our fathers and father figures to have a great social life this weekend. Apparently, football season is coming up. Just make sure when your social life is being enjoyed, you don't get disconnected from your family, because now you get arrested because you're doing something that, after letting your hair down, whatever that is, you end up in trouble. It can't be that you do so much fun stuff, it ends up coming back to bite you and your relationship with your children. Then it's not a social.
My season is basketball season, particularly college basketball. And my wife likes to tell the little joke that once March Madness starts, she doesn't have much of a marriage, because I'm in the TV watching March Madness. So I beg to differ, but.
I need to talk about that. Listen, gentlemen, thank you for being here. And our listening audience, we love talking to you, but we wanted to start talking with us. Text, call us, 561-229-2379, or email us at dadup@thefatherchildconnection.org. Next week, we're going to be having some guests. We have two doctors coming in on Tuesday to talk about prostate health, and I'm so looking forward to that. We also have some guests from the Florida Rural Legal Services who will be available to answer questions to do with divorce, hopefully not that, but if you need to, child support, custody, and the whole works. Listen, have a wonderful day, and dad up. Thanks for joining us today on the Dad Up Radio Show. We would like to hear your feedback, comments, or suggestions. Also, if you would like to support us with your prayers, hours, and dollars, you can reach us at 561-229-2379. You can call or text us at 561-229-2379 or email us at dadup@thefatherchildconnection.org. That's dadup@thefatherchildconnection.org.